California faces a school library crisis due to the lack of a designated state funding source, leading to limited books, fewer librarians, and many schools without functioning libraries. Access Books Bay Area aims to address this issue by providing high-quality, culturally relevant books and transforming school library spaces. Their goal is to improve literacy for K-8 students in low-income areas, creating inviting environments that foster a love of reading. You can help this effort to bridge the literacy gap by donating and finding out more at accessbooksbayarea.org.
Eklund with a shot. He scores! William Eklund caps an astounding comeback. The Sharks win it!
You're listening to Morning Tide on the Sharks Audio Network.
Star! Fabian centered on a one-time pass. Cooks the defense, has a chance. Deke shoots. Star! A spectacular rush from end to end.
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
Sharks put it back to the point. Celebrini exchanging now. He stick handles. He shoots. Knocked aside by Blackwood. Rebound kept in by the Sharks. Fed to the slot. Celebrini shoots. Score! Mecklen Celebrini gets the Sharks' second power play goal with 4 seconds left in the penalty against Keaton Middleton. And for Mecklen Celebrini of the San Jose Sharks, that is his 20th goal of his rookie season. And so the score is 6-2.
Yeah, I think so. Like, I don't think, like I said, I don't think we had our jump like we have had over. I feel like we played with more purpose and more hungry the last six games of this road trip. But, you know, yeah, things have happened. The situation today was pretty mentally, it was tough on us mentally. You know, it was a pretty emotional day with guys, you know, not playing, Sturmey being traded and stuff like that. But these are things that are part of the game, that other stuff may come up in future seasons that we can't let get to our head and we can't let affect us. You know, if we're going to be a good hockey team competing for Stanley Cup in the near future, we're going to need to learn how to battle through these moments. So yeah, there's no excuse for it, but yeah, we were missing that tonight, that energy.
All right, what's happening, everyone? Late last night, after the Sharks had completed their loss to the Avs, Jake Walman was traded to Edmonton for a conditional first-round pick and Carl Berglund a forward. So the San Jose Sharks' Mike Greer continues to do a great bit of business. And I understand that maybe there is the reaction of, wow, the Sharks are trading away a lot of players. And I know I saw some commentary on social media that this is a bad look for the league or a bad look for the Sharks. And Ted, the team employee is disagreeing. I take the mind of, why would Mike Greer be motivated to keep this specific group together? Like, that is my answer. And I don't think anyone can point to this team and say, oh, well, this is why or that is why. At least not based on the wins and losses. Now, I think for Mike Greer, as I have said all year, it is not about the here and now. It is about the future. And for the San Jose Sharks, this group is not specifically the future. And just as a little bit of an experiment, I went back and looked at the opening lineup for the San Jose Sharks, and only 8 players from opening night were playing last night. So you looked at that starting lineup last night as it's listed in the box score. Tyler Toffoli, he's still here. Mecklen Celebrini is still here. Mikael Granlund, gone. Then you go to Barclay Goodrow, and then you go to Jake Walman, gone. Then you go to Jan Ruda, he's out injured. Then you go to Fabian Zetterlund, he's here. William Eklund is here. Cody Ceci, gone. Matt Benning, gone. Then you go to Luke Cunnan, Mario Ferraro, they're still here. Ty Dellandrea, Nico Sturm, gone. Daniil Gushin on the Barracuda. Henry Thrun, he's injured right now as well. And then you also have Mackenzie Blackwood. He was traded away as well. And I mean, that's just where this team is. Mike Greer is trying to build the pieces for the future and trying to build around them. The immediate future, yes, even though Tyler Toffoli is not as young as many of the other guys we're talking about, because they locked him up for a reason, he's part of that. So you've got Toffoli, you've got Celebrini, you've got Will Smith, you've got Eklund, you've got Zetterlund, you've got Wennberg. He's not a free agent coming up. You've got Henry Thrun, you've got Will Smith, if I didn't say him already. It's about the future. It's all about the future right now. And Luke Cunnan is another guy that we might see, you know, moved eventually. But Matt Benning, you know, he was traded early in the season. Mackenzie Blackwood was traded early in the season. Then in, you know, early February, you had the trade of Mikael Granlund and Cody Ceci. You know, this Sharks team has been getting chipped away at all year long because Mike Greer is trying to situate himself for the future. And that is the most important thing. That doesn't mean it's the most fun right now, but keeping this group together because it is quote unquote fun or our team, that's not how you win in professional sports. You have to take emotion out of it. You have to take personal connections out of it. You have to be a little bit of, not a prick, but cold at times. And I think these guys all know that sports are a cold business, that you have to trade the players away. I mean, you look at the guys that got traded away in the Joe Thornton deal. Those were good Sharks, but there was ability to get somebody better. And so you bring in somebody that's better. You look at the way that, you know, the 49ers handled their situation in the 80s and in the 90s, where they always said they would rather trade a guy a year too soon than a year too late. And it was specifically Bill Walsh, the champion of that ideology. And they probably said goodbye to Roger Craig a little bit early. They said goodbye to Ronnie Lott a little bit early. And then, you know, years later when Bill Walsh was gone, they even said goodbye to Jerry Rice a little bit early. And they probably said bye to Joe Montana a little early. But that's how it goes. And we're talking about pillars of what that franchise became in the 80s with Roger Craig and Ronnie Lott and Joe Montana and Jerry Rice. You know, they said goodbye because they knew it was about winning as opposed to going down the line. And they, you know, they moved on from Joe Montana and they got another Super Bowl with Jerry Rice. And for anyone trying to claim that the 49ers would have won more than Jerry, no, they were not going to beat those Cowboys teams with Joe Montana or Steve Young. Steve Young leveled up the quarterback game after Joe Montana and they still couldn't win. As my dad, who worked for the 49ers for 20 years, used to point out to me, he'd say, "Ted, the 49ers' biggest problem is that there is only one Steve Young on the field." He was right. But the point is, if you get too emotionally attached, if you get too just sweet about a situation, you end up holding on to guys for too long. And I can point to situations like the Warriors. They probably should have moved on from Klay Thompson a little bit sooner and gotten something for him in a trade. They probably should have moved on from a Draymond Green and got something for him in a trade. I understand that the Warriors are playing well right now. I don't think it's enough for them to continue, to make another deep run. You know, you look at, you know, what happened to the Giants. You know, the Giants locked up guys for too long. They quote unquote rewarded guys. And it's not that I'm against rewarding guys, but you want to make sure that you don't hamstring yourself for the future. You want to make sure that you give yourselves a chance. And that franchise, you know, they had some tough times after the championship run. And we'll see what happens to the Warriors. And we all saw what happens to the Sharks. You know, we had to watch Mike Greer come in and trade away a Brent Burns and trade away an Erik Karlsson and a Timo Meier and a Tomas Hertl. You know, four key players to what they were doing. He traded them away. The entirety of Mike Greer's tenure has been defined by trading guys away and getting huge things in return. Draft capital, number one. You can do anything with these picks now. You got a conditional first-round pick for Jake Walman. That is a great bit of business. No one saw that coming. But now, the Sharks have the ability to use that draft pick in the future or trade that draft pick in the future to acquire talent. They can develop talent or they can acquire talent. That goes two very positive ways for San Jose. You're either getting a first-rounder or you are getting a player. That works out very well, but you've stripped down all these other talents. You've taken them away to build around the future. Who is that future? Will Smith, Macklin Celebrini, William Eklund, Yaroslav Askarov, Shakir Mukhmudulin, Fabian Zetterlund, I would assume. You know, these are the players that they're building around right now. Obviously, you have a player like Tyler Toffoli, who's not going to play forever, but he is still part of that short-term future, and I'd hope the long-term. I think he is such a positive impact and such a character person that he's here for a long, long time. But Mike Greer knows that it wasn't about the players on the roster this year. Those guys that he's brought in over time have been here to facilitate this process of stripping things down to build around the youth and take it in the right direction. And yes, in October and November and December, you needed more around the young guys as they were getting into it for the first time in their career. At least you can make the argument that they did because they've been extremely mature throughout the entirety of their careers. But you've had these young players, even before with William Eklund, around guys that did things the right way. You know, they were around a Nico Sturm. They were around a Luke Cunningham, who is still here today, even though he was held out last night. They were around a Matt Benning, who is a consistent professional. You know, they've been around these players. You know, they got to see successful guys get it done year in, year out. Mikhail Granlund, again, great as a San Jose Shark. Cody Ceci, you know, we've talked to Jack Thompson about, you know, Cody Ceci passing things on to him. You know, we've watched Shakir Mukhmudulin improve this year because he's been able to play with consistent D-men. You know, Mark Edward Vlasic is still teaching things, even though he is towards the end of his career. So right now, the Sharks are probably feeling like this season, you know, even though they're not mathematically eliminated, they're not going to the playoffs. And so Mike Grier has to make the hard decisions, just as he has done at every point of his tenure with San Jose. And what have those decisions led to? Future optimism. You can't win a Stanley Cup overnight. You can't put together a team and wheel and deal and try and make the team just amazing, great, great, positive once again. But the San Jose Sharks have been putting together talent, have been acquiring draft capital, developing talent. I mean, all these guys that they have in their system, they're not all going to be San Jose Sharks. Let's be very, very clear about that. They have been able to really give themselves a chance to develop for a future and maximize that future. They're going to get another very high draft pick this year, and they are going to give themselves a chance to develop more and more talent or use that as draft capital. That is their choice. Now, we've all made the argument that they're not as far off as it would seem. I mean, it depends how you define far off. You know, those close losses don't happen by accident. What, 27 of them this year? That's 54 points if they won every single one. That is, you know, roughly 28 points if they win half of them, or 27 if you want to get technical. Even if they only win 10, it's 20 more points than what they have right now, which is still, you know, at least closer to the conversation. Their mentality is where it needs to be when we look at the long term. Their mentality has kept them in these games. Ryan Warsawski has done a very good job of instilling a fight and a desire in very difficult circumstances. That is my takeaway from this year. Not necessarily that they're quote-unquote close, because I don't necessarily disagree with that concept. They're not as far away as the record indicates, but it still needs a lot more talent. It still needs more development. It still needs more time. Now, you can make big moves in the offseason. Maybe Mike Grier will. That's his prerogative. But I'm not saying that this team is a piece or two away and upset that they're trading guys. No, they have the ability to bring in more talent in a real hurry, and they have strong talent developing. You've watched William Eklund get better and better this year playing like a star. Macklin Celebrini has been a star since day one. He had more points last night, had another goal. You know, Will Smith had another point last night. He gets better and better, literally game by game right now, guys. This is exactly what the San Jose Sharks were hoping to see out of this season. More development from their young stars. And I do say stars. William Eklund has the ability to be a star in this league, as do Will Smith and Macklin Celebrini. Yaroslav Askarov as well. You know, these guys are getting better day after day, week after week, month after month, and that is what it's been about all along. You might be asking yourself at this point, Ted, are you going to bring up last night? Not too much. We'll get into it a little bit, play some highlights, get some post-game sound, but, you know, right now, we could have more. At the time of this recording, it's, you know, in the 5 o'clock hour on Friday morning. You know, we've seen Jake Walman get traded. There's lots of rumors swirling around the NHL. Luke Cunning was out of yesterday's lineup. You also saw Nico Sturm get traded. You also saw Vitek Vanacek get traded. There's more that could be happening. Mario Ferraro's name has been, you know, rumbled about. People have been talking about that as well. So we'll just have to wait and see. And that's fine. Listen, this team is not good. I know that we have emotional attachments to all these guys, but at the end of the day, this team only has 17 wins for a very specific reason. All right. Let's get into some of these highlights from last night. After the Avalanche scored two early on, including a shorthanded goal and then a power play goal to make it a 2-0 game, the Sharks responded with a power play goal of their own. Fabian Zetterlund, set up by Colin Graf, who continues to show growth and potential in the NHL.
Centered in front, Liljegren holds it. Feeds Kovalenko, angle shot, hit the side of a net. That wasn't a bad idea right there. There was some space to the left side of Blackwood, but Kovalenko just off the mark. And now, Zetterlund in front, scores! Oh. On the rebound of that play, Colin Graf sets up Zetterlund for a tip-in. That's a power play goal with 9:52 to go in the first period. That's going to give the Sharks a bucket load of confidence.
For Fabian Zetterlund, that was his 17th goal of the year to go with 19 assists. And for Colin Graf, that was his 5th assist of the year, as the Sharks have the deficit to get back into it. But then a late first period goal would give the Avs a 3-1 lead, and scoring at the 1957 mark, giving up a goal that late in that first period, very indicative about where the game was going to go. I mean, the 2-0 lead early on was also a bit of a tell, but you're down 3-1 after you have the assist. I think we all saw what was coming from that point. Then just 40 seconds into the second period, Marty Necas makes it 4-1, and then Nate MacKinnon makes it 5-1 in the second period. So yeah, that was just a painful bit of the game right there. Then you get into the third period, and Nathan MacKinnon makes it a 6-1 game at the 5:21 mark. And about 3 minutes later, Macklin Celebrini scores his 20th of the year, assisted by Will Smith and William Eklund.
Sharks put it back to the point. Celebrini exchanging now. He stick handles. He shoots. Knocked aside by Blackwood. Rebound kept in by the Sharks. Fed to the slot. Celebrini shoots. Score! Macklin Celebrini gets the Sharks' second power play goal with 4 seconds left in the penalty against Keaton Middleton. And for Macklin Celebrini of the San Jose Sharks, that is his 20th goal of his rookie season. And so the score is 6-2.
The great Cale Makar would then add a goal at the 9-minute mark of the third period, making it 7-2. And then with just over 2.5 minutes remaining, William Eklund added his 14th of the year to give the Sharks a third on the night and make your final of 7-3.
Here's Wennberg with 99 career goals. He dishes off to the left. Here's Toffoli shooting it. Saved. There's the rebound. Score! It's Eklund who gets it, and he pokes it in to make it 7-3.
And with that goal, his second point of the night, William Eklund gets his 100th NHL point. So congratulations to him. Obviously, he is at the start of what looks like it will be a very long and fruitful career, but very excited to see where things are going for William Eklund and, of course, for the San Jose Sharks. I do want to play you a bit of an interview that I did with Sheng Peng yesterday, but I want to get some of the post-game reaction. Head coach Ryan Warsawski speaking at the end of what was a difficult day for the San Jose Sharks with a tough loss to a very, very good hockey team, as well as trades going down and guys being held out of the lineup.
Yeah, tough day. Obviously lose Sturmey. A lot going on. And I think we saw the human side of our game tonight with our players. And if you've been watching our team, that was not our group. And that's what's frustrating because you saw the human side of this game come in.
And we are all humans. There is no doubt about that. And I think it's, for any team, not necessarily demoralizing. I think that that was probably maybe something that was felt after the Mackenzie Blackwood trade, because the Sharks have been playing better hockey up to that point of the season after a very strong month of November. But I think for the Sharks, it was probably just deflating. There was a reality that was setting in with the team that they are approaching the deadline. Guys are getting moved away. Changes are being made. That was kind of the sense that, yeah, this year has not gone to plan. Not that they were ever supposed to be a great team this year. And even if they did have 10 or 20 points more, they were going to make moves one way or another. But again, it's that human aspect of it. These guys still feel the realities of everything going on around them. And then, you know, there's the idea of losing friends. I mean, I've been able to be around this team a lot over the last couple of years. A guy like Nico Sturm is appreciated by everyone. His work ethic, his professionalism, and just being a super nice guy. I mean, I remember a couple of weeks ago, right around Christmas, my kids were out of school, so they came with me to Sharks Ice as I was going to do some interviews after practice. And Nico Sturm walks in, sees my kids immediately, goes over, you know, before we do the interview, is talking to them, asking them questions, does the interview, and then we're done, goes over and talks to them some more. I mean, I didn't ask him to do any of that. I literally told my kids, I was like, stay in the corner, don't say anything. These guys are busy. I know that they're, you know, idols of yours, but, you know, just stay out of the way. Nico just goes out of his way, just walks in, sees kids in the room, is like, oh, let me go talk to these guys. I mean, that just tells you a lot about their character. That just tells you a lot about who they are as people. They understand they're talking to the future fans of the game. And that isn't limited to interactions with kids. That goes to everybody. Nico Sturm, you know, he was always one of the best interviews that I've had. So at that point, when you're losing him, on top of Vitek Vanacek, who is obviously a very, very good goalie, who's dealt with injuries, but a really, really nice character guy as well. Yeah, this is all part of the realities of the NHL at this time of the year. Mario Ferraro, who you heard coming into today's episode, chatted with the media after last night's game, and this was before the Walman trade had been made, and obviously Luke Cunningham had been held out. He was asked, you know, what his reaction would be if those guys are moved, and at the point, Jake Walman at least had not been moved.
Yeah, they're big, you know, they've been big parts of this team this year, and Cunningham's been here for a couple years now, but, you know, they're still a Shark as of right now, so I don't really want to say too much on it. But you know, if they aren't, then you know, we're going to be missing a lot of those guys. They've competed hard, I don't think anyone's too surprised. We're, you know, in the situation that we're in, so it's part of the game. It's part of the business.
Mario Ferraro knows the reality. I'm sure he is well aware that his name has been in many a discussion as well out there among the rumor mongers in the NHL. And, you know, I asked him about this after the CC and Granlund trade. You know, I asked him if his friends, because he's from Toronto, were asking him about stuff and texting him stories and tweets. And he's like, yeah, he's like, I'm from Toronto. Well, I've got some friends that are pretty interested. So I'm sure he is well aware of all the talk that is going on. But to his answer, this is the reality of the business. This is life in the NHL at this time of the year. Maybe not quite so eloquent, but a little bit more frank was Tyler Toffoli. I really like this answer from him when asked about, you know, things going on with the team during the day and all the rumor mongering going on. And he gave a very frank answer about what the team has to do from this point on.
I mean, it's expected. It's the position that we're in as a team. And it's one of those things that it obviously sucks, but it's part of the business. So the guys who are here, we have to perform. We can't just wait around and sit on our ass for 18 games and get our asses kicked every night.
Toffoli's entire outlook, I just feel like nothing phases him, and he's just very, very matter of fact saying that we can't sit on our asses and we can't get our asses kicked for the 18 remaining games. That guy is a beauty, I tell you what. But I did speak with Sheng Peng of San Jose Hockey Now and NBC Sports California. At this point of the interview, we knew that Nico Sturm had been traded, and there were talks out there that Luke Cunningham was going to be out of the lineup. I don't think the Jake Walman rumor had popped up as of yet, but I asked him about his reaction to everything that was going on up to this point.
I guess maybe a little more. I thought that there might be a player or two that they keep just because you need to have some good veteran leadership. I know they already do have some with Gaudreau and Toffoli, et cetera, but I thought they might keep a couple of these guys to kind of work and grow with Macklin, with Will Smith and whatnot. So maybe a little more so.
Is the idea just that at this point in the final 20-ish games of the year, maybe they feel that they don't need as much of the veteran leadership in the sense that these guys have been doing it for a while, Will Smith and Macklin Celebrini in particular, are having success at a consistent rate, that they're not as worried about having as much of that leadership aspect around?
Well, we won't talk with Mike until tomorrow, trade deadline day, or after trade deadline tomorrow. So we'll have a better sense of what he's thinking. But I think it is probably encouraging what's happened on this road trip and how good the Sharks have been. And even though they've traded before this road trip, Granlund, CC, Blackwood.
Yeah.
And so that could be part of the calculation there, that they still have a good balance of that with the guys who are left over. So that part, I'm not really quite sure on that part of it. But there is a point, though, where the team will have to stop doing this.
Yes,
not this year, though, I guess.
No, I mean, I think that just kind of goes back to the idea of where did they think they were going to be in terms of their results. I don't think they expected to have only 17 wins at this point. Obviously, they've had so many third period losses over the course of the year that maybe if they had held on to Mackenzie Blackwood, they would have had more. Mike alluded to the fact that Blackwood played himself off the team. And, you know, there's infinite unknowables here, Shang, that you and I can debate for hours on end. I won't subject you to that for the time being. We'll save that for another day. But for where the Sharks are right now, do you think it's just an idea of, hey, we are in a position to get another top three draft pick potentially? This year is not the reality, and it's still about the future. As much as maybe there is now light at the end of the tunnel with these young talents showing promise, it's still not about today or the here and now.
Well, see, I would say the point, though, of keeping guys like and I had this argument on my podcast, so if you guys have heard it already, I apologize, but keeping a guy like Granlund isn't about today. It's not about 20 games. You're not going to make the playoffs. The Sharks could win out. They could win every game the rest of the season. They're not making the playoffs. That's how far back they are, but it's about the next year or two, right? And it's about teaching the young kids the right things. And yes, they are learning the right things already. And we are seeing that on this road trip. So credit to Mike, to Ryan Warsawski and all that, right? But the next couple of years, though, are a big part of it. And it's that bridge to the next time the Sharks are in the playoffs. And you need some guys around. Mm-hmm. And if you trade them, which is fine, then you need to add them during free agency. And so, or via trade over the summer, which I imagine that they will. But that's all kind of unlikely. Like you said, kind of unknowable now because we don't know who they're bringing in. I guess they brought in one guy, you know, that Deschamps name. But it's a little bit unknowable now.
Do you think that guys are going to, as they enter free agency, look at the San Jose Sharks and see what's maybe, you know, a star in the making in Macklin Celebrini, Tyler Toffoli having continued success, a goalie like Askarov? Do you think it's going to be a situation where guys are attracted because they feel that there's something good building there?
Yeah, a little bit so. I think earlier this season, the Athletic had an interesting survey where they talked with players, and San Jose, I think, was second on a list of places that players did not want to go to. And I think that there is going to be a part of that still. That's granted, not every player in the league, but there are going to be some players that they want to win now, and San Jose is not a place for that. But there are going to be players like a Tyler Toffoli that are going to be open to this situation. And, of course, it helps a lot because you have two very clear building blocks in Macklin and Askarov and Will Smith too, of course, and Willie Macklin and all those guys.
What do you think of the way they've played on this road trip? Because I know that Ryan Warsawski talked about they tightened things up. They introduced some new things tactically right after the break when they had about 4 days of practice to get ready for this road trip. They have been playing, I could argue, their best hockey of the year. It's been tighter, most definitely. Mm-hmm. What have you seen?
I've been very impressed. So this is the longest stretch of solid hockey that they've played probably since the beginning of the season when they still have Blackwood on the team. Since they traded Blackwood, I think it's been very up and down, in part because I don't know if they felt like they could trust the goaltending. And I think part of what Warsawski, I think, in terms of sort of the changes that he's introduced tactically and in the neutral zone, is to protect the goaltending more and have less odd man rushes and that sort of thing, right? And not to put it all on the goaltending. The Sharks' working environment for a goalie is probably the hardest in the league the last couple of years. And I think I'm not trying to criticize Vitek or Alex. It's more a recognition of how good Blackwood was. And
right.
I think we maybe quite appreciate how good he was and how he could kind of under siege still kind of be in the right frame of mind, you know, be Mr. Positive, but also perform incredibly well too, being under siege. And so anyway, I think Warsawski recognized that. It means helping out his goalies more. And we see that because they cut down their shots against. They've outshot their opponents on a fairly regular basis on this road trip, which if you look at their game log this year, that's not a regular occurrence for the Sharks to be outshooting their opponent. And so overall, they definitely have been a different team on this road trip. And I think after they traded Granlund, after that Dallas loss to leading the Four Nations, things were really looking like they might kind of go the way of last year.
Mm-hmm.
And a credit to, I think a lot of it does go to Ryan Warsawski for kind of, you know, the buck stops with him, and he stopped it right there, and he got his guys on board with some of his changes, and they're playing it.
No, they most definitely are. The one thing that did hang around until they got that win against Toronto was the third period losses, and obviously you've got to play three periods to finish a hockey game, and it's kind of a, you know, the game's going to develop the way it is, but how do the Sharks going forward rectify the third period issues that they've had? Because going over the entirety of the season, I think it's like 27 quote unquote close losses. And I would have to imagine the majority of those were them conceding goals in the third period. But so many of those games, Sheng, they had a lead in the third period. I think that's what was probably so frustrating about it. You know, how do they learn those lessons this year and take it into next year? Or is the blunt truth of it that they don't have the horses for 60 minutes of hockey to hold on to a lead?
It's going to be tough, right? I think a lot of it is to just not overthink it and to just keep playing the best you can to the system that is working and not think about, oh, no, we're in another league, or, oh, no, the team's pressuring us and we're going to blow it. And they're still going to have losses like that to end the season. They're not going to go win every third period lead now for the rest of the season, but have some wins and have some losses like they did in Buffalo. They were able to close out that game, and just I think they can do that. They'll be fine. Just don't let it become a thing bigger than. I know in media we always have to ask about it, but
yeah.
You know, don't let it become a kind of the story itself. You know, just they're a young team. They don't have the horses necessarily, and so they're going to blow some third period leads coming down the line. But they're going to also keep it for you too, just like they did in Buffalo, and just try to play the same way, and so you'll get some results that way.
To hear the entirety of that interview, check out yesterday's edition of The Buildup. We are going to have coverage later this afternoon after the deadline expires. There is expected to be media availability with Mike Greer, the general manager of the San Jose Sharks. We'll have all that for you right here on the Sharks Audio Network. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey, signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yen.